Jeffrey Aruda is the team manager of account management at CarGurus and oversees 5 different team leads with about 25 individual contributors. He's been at CarGurus for almost 7 years and has in-depth experience in customer success and client services. I don't know about you guys, but that was always the most nerve-wracking thing in elementary school, when it was your turn to read.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like once you leave like elementary, middle school, you, like the amount of reading aloud goes down like significantly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And with my name being, with my last name being Aruda, I was always the first one to read aloud. So I didn't have someone ahead of me to like go off. Like, all right, this is how, this was the speed that the person was reading at. This is how loud they were. Nope, I had to set the tone for that.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Without a Roadmap, the podcast for tech folks who get the job done but are still figuring it out. I'm Jonas, joined here by my co-host Cameron and a very special guest, Jeffrey Aruda. Jeff, so great to have you here this week.
Thank you for having me. Really excited.
Awesome. Well, so Jeff, you've got a lot of experience in customer success, obviously, and particularly like it's find it really interesting to speak with folks who have kind of seen every level of, you know, the customer success, like all the way from the trenches to leading a team. And I think it's super interesting to the people who listen to our show, oftentimes earlier in their careers and in customer success roles or product roles or looking to get in there. Folks always ask how, you know, what are certain things or, you know, attributes, qualities that, you know, people managing teams doing hiring are looking for in CSMs. Could you shed a little bit of light into, you know, what the hiring process looks like for you and your team? And maybe what are some of the things that you kind of look for in somebody that maybe has no prior experience, but is looking to break into a customer success role?
Yeah. Definitely would love to get into that. So what the process looks like, to answer the first part of the question, what the process is, we have a panel style interview that has myself, the director of the department, and then we have a couple of cross-functional team members on there. And we ask questions about cross-functionality work, experience around customer success. We do some scenario questions. And then from there, we move into some one-on-one interviews to help further vet out any of the candidates and get a little bit deeper at anything that we didn't talk about during the panel interview. And then things that we look for, I primarily just look for people who have gone through some sort of element of change at their business, either rolled out products, have some sort of customer experience type of work, may it be from dealing with high profile, high value clients, all the way to working in a completely different industry that your client might not be a traditional account manager type of client.
Nice. Another follow-on question for that. Like once those folks fortunately get hired and join your team, what are some of the attributes you found that the better or the more successful CSMs have within them?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost is resilience and flexibility. I think the world that we live in, there's constant change. One day you'll be on a certain platform, you see a really cool widget that you like, the next day it's gone because they didn't have the type of usability that they were looking for. So I look for people who are flexible, resilient, who have grit, who aren't afraid to roll up their sleeves and get into some really tricky or sticky conversations. And people who are in a growth mindset and are generally curious about, all right, how can I make this product better? How can I get people more engaged with my product? How can I upsell a difficult client and build some advocacy around me, my product, and what I represent?
I always find it interesting in both CS and product roles that they both oftentimes one of the job description or job requirements is that you're kind of like an expert of the product. So I guess, you know, most people aren't and don't have experience in car sales. So like what's one of the ways that you find it helpful to put yourself in the shoes of one of your accounts and in the your end users?
Yeah. So, I mean, most likely you don't have experience selling cars, but you might have experience buying a car. So put yourself into that experience, or maybe you know a friend who bought a car, a relative who bought a car, put yourself in that experience. What was that like? And that's what we're really trying to solve, is how do we make that process better and easier and painless for both sides, from the dealership standpoint and from the consumer standpoint. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of reflecting on that and living through your experience of how can you make your clients better.
And I think it's really the, you know, that's one of the things that I see there being a huge overlap in between the two roles, both customer success and product, is really like a deep understanding of the product and the end user. One of the things that we talked about when we were speaking before was kind of how there is, you know, a lot of the attributes of CSMs actually like overlap well with product people outside of just that. Like, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on kind of like the CSM's role and kind of like help building a better product experience within the company, and you know, and generally just whether or not you think that it's like a very you know, there's a fast track from CS to product, because I think that's something that there's been a lot of conversations around, like kind of you know, people going from customer success into product, and that there's a lot of overlap. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. I think if you take a really strong product manager and a really strong customer success manager, you'll see some of the similarities, or there's a lot of similarities between the two. I would say it's a person who is good at communication, good at driving, driving results, good at documentation, someone who's most likely going to be very data-driven, and ultimately just trying to better the experience of whoever's using the product at the end. From the customer success side, it's, all right, do I have my clients engaged in my product consistently and all that? And from the product side, I'm building a product that clients are engaging with and using consistently. So I'd say like the core of those two roles are very similar. It's just what gets produced or how you manage your day is where it differs.
To follow on Jonas's point, since probably we sell to both customer product teams, we always get a lot of questions and just tips on like how to best run like the CS and product bi-weekly sync of how to address customer needs, customer feature requests, things like that. So if you could you just shed a little light about how that's run at CarGurus?
Yeah, so I have two methodologies of that feedback loop. One is we actually have a system in place where we can submit product feedback, the anecdotal, hey, a dealer or a client wants to change the color of a button, or we need to shift the button to the left side of the page, or have a floating button somewhere. And then I also operate in a MRR scale impact of that request. So, hey, how many clients or dealers are requesting for this update? What's the scale? Is this one really loud client, or is this like 30% of your book of business that's requiring that? And use those two methodologies of helping push the product development.
As we all know, since Jonas and I are both product people, we don't always deliver on our promises or timelines in a very efficient way. For probably majority of the time for our customers. So how do you coach your team, or how do you, as your own CS person, deal with that kind of tension when a customer really wants this feature, really wants this bug fix, but it's kind of out of your hands and the product team has promised that they'll work on it, but we all know that could be a black box at times.
Yeah, I think it's all about being transparent and not over-promising what can be delivered, right? It's building your buffer of time period. If you're getting, hey, it's in the next sprint that's going to happen in 2 weeks, see if that's confirmed. If not, add a little bit of buffer. And then also explain to your client, like the transparency, like tell them what the process is. And tell them like, hey, this is a very small scale bug. It's impacting 0.01% of our traffic. We're working on things, we're prioritizing things that have a bigger impact on our traffic. We'll get to those eventually, but just wanted to tell what the scale is. And I think once you're transparent with the client of like, hey, only 0.001% clicks the button there that you're experiencing the bug in, you kind of calm those anxieties with your client. And then you can point them in the direction of like, but you are getting a ton of traffic, or you're getting a ton of interactions with these other tools. Let's see how we can optimize with those.
So it's kind of like flipping, like, yes, we acknowledge your bug, but also there's other things that you can get a lot of value out of while we're working on the thing that either requested or reported to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Switching gears a little bit, kind of looking at your experience, because you've done a lot more than, you know, just working at CarGurus. But, you know, I think there's something to say about the, you know, way in which you manage, you know, tens of thousands of accounts at a company like CarGurus versus your experience at smaller companies where you might have, you know, a dozen or so per CSM. I think everybody knows that there's, you know, gonna be, in order for it to be scalable, like a CS process has to kind of change and adjust, you know, according to the size and the, you know, strategy of the company. Could you speak a little bit on, you know, the differences in how you might manage at, you know, accounts at such a great scale, and maybe some of the different strategies in which you might employ to kind of, you know, ensure that each customer is you know, receiving adequate attention, but at the same time is, you know, a process that's scalable.
Yeah. So a couple of strategies I've implemented in the past and currently use is help those clients that need your help first, prioritize those. If you haven't had a client that logged into your product in 30 days, let's get them on the phone, figure out what's going on, show them the resell that value, and have that constant touch point of until they get to the habit that you need them to get into. It's kind of like when you go visit a doctor and they're like, hey, I want to see you once a month for the next 6 months until we get you on the specific track. Similar idea. We've noticed things on your account that we're not big fans of, and we want to get you here because you're going to see this type of ROI from it. And when you get them into that position or have see that behavior and see that increase in performance, then you start dialing it back a little bit. But you dial it back supplementing with other things. So like either some sort of marketing automation or some sort of notification system in a dashboard or one pagers that you can share while you dial back, and then use those lesser touch points when the account gets to where you need it to be very meaningful touch points. You don't want to waste your time. I had a manager once told me that a QBR is a scheduled waste of time unless there's some valuable content in there. And that resonated really well with me. I'm just like, man, all of our content should be meaningful. Time is a very valuable element. If you're not using that time wisely, then you might be causing a little harm to the relationship. So to answer the question of the high touch, get them where you need to be, and then dial it back with very meaningful and impactful touch points after that.
You're muted.
I am muted. I was on double mute. But back to that same topic. Just for the general audience, for people that are smaller companies and that are have like kind of increased in a lot of scale customers are trying to make that switch from everyone being a high touch customer, because we all know that when you're early on in the stage of a company, every customer is like super important, critical. But as you scale, obviously, you start to get the different tiers of customers. So how do you like implement the high touch versus low touch, or how do you kind of choose the type of meetings you want to schedule for those folks? Also keeping in mind that everything, all time is valuable, but we also know that some customers you want to speak to more frequently just because they're so impactful to your business and also can provide a lot of great insights that you may not get through like that marketing automation stuff that you can implement at scale.
Yeah. So it boils down to documentation, data, and reporting. From a data perspective, look at, hey, what are reasons that we've lost clients in the past? How do we get ahead of it and bake that into your account management touch points? Accurate reporting, making sure that you have the right health score, health check reportings that you need that would correlate with the data that you have of your churn data to identify when to start reaching out to the accounts. And then documentation, like, yes, you can capture all these red flags of, hey, this client hasn't logged into our dashboard in a while, or they've been less engaged. But you need the documentation to tell the anecdotal stuff. Was, hey, maybe the client is going through a renovation of their showroom, and you know they're not going to be engaged for 3 months, but they gave us a heads up of like, hey, I'm kind of probably going to go off the radar for a little bit. It's not because I don't want to talk to you. It's because I'm going through a massive renovation, or I'm going on vacation, or whatever it may be. So right. You need those three elements and to help you with the scaling.
All right. And what's the we're talking a lot about data driven stuff and using analytics. So like what's, and you also talked about a lot about, capturing notes from the touch points and also the documentation. What's kind of the process you implement and kind of try to live by in terms of like combining the quantitative and qualitative data so they really tell like the most accurate picture of how a customer is doing?
Yeah. So we have our CRM, which we just use for note-taking. And we have very specific fields that need to get filled in with very clear details that we need in the notes. And then we have a data warehouse system that we use to capture that will track and capture all the historical data of the account. So we can kind of line up the two of like, all right, last time I talked to Steeler was May 1st. This look at the data warehouse. This is where the account was standing at that point. And as I go into my next touch point, here's where they're currently standing and what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, there's something interesting. I think it was Andrew Kaplan, who's a growth marketer who came on the show a while back, said that you should never set up analytics unless you know what you're going to do with it. And I find that increasingly important now, since we only have a few people, on the data team here who could actually set those up. So I'm curious, as a CS team leader, how are you identifying which of those metrics are important for you to track in order to, accurately, understand whether or not a customer's, successfully adopted a new feature or product, and kind of like what are the, how do you even think about setting up like what success looks like for product adoption so that you can decide what metrics or what is success anyways?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to what's the goal of the customer from an individual level. It's what's the goal of the customer. If the goal of the customer is to be like, hey, I want to have the most leads, or I want you to be my primary source of, in our case, selling cars and driving the most leads, like getting our customer to that stage. And then the broader perspective is like, all right, are the goals and the metrics that we're putting in place with the team aligned with where the business needs to go as well? So what's the mission of the company? What are the initiatives? What are the strategic initiatives that we're pushing, and making sure that the goals that we set up for our teams align with that. And making sure what our teams are pushing as well is with our dealers is also pushing with that, because that message is just going to trickle downward. So make sure that we're educating our clients of like, hey, this is where everything's going. This is where technology is headed. Like, come on board. Let us help you. Let me get you there.
So these are things that you ideally would identify during, the early stages, either like the sales process or the onboarding process, try and kind of like determine, what success looks like for each individual customer, rather than kind of looking at scale, like, what percentage of customers have used this, how many times?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, ideally when we get a client, the idea is we should be having a conversation of like, reinstating, why did you buy this? And setting the clear expectation of like, all right, if you're buying this for this reason, these are the steps and these are the goals I'm going to put in place for you to achieve that. And kind of use that as the accountability tool on both sides. So if we have a client that just starts to differ away from that messaging, we then be like, hold on. Like, that's not the plan that we had in place for you. So let's reset the expectations. Let's reset up a new goal and start driving that direction. I think that's one of the key things in the account management world.
So we talked a lot about the relationship between product and CS. Kind of want to switch gears to talk about the relationship between sales and CS, right? So I think one of the things that come to my mind is obviously when you're going through the sales process, or you're prospects or clients obviously bring up pain points that they're currently having, their wish list of things they want to have built. How do you handle that process once a prospect becomes a customer and there's like a list of feature requests that aren't possible in the product today, but you need to build for them to be successful? So how do you kind of manage expectations with the sales team saying, hey, don't overpromise everything that we can't deliver in a decent time frame, just so you can start off on a good foot with the first customer onboarding situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's about inspiring ownership and being transparent. At CarGurus, with my team, what I have them do is they have a weekly meeting with their account executives and say, hey, what do you have on board? What can I help you get across the finish line? And often the account management team is tagged in of like, hey, this person can walk you through what the onboarding process looks like, or what are some of the features of specific products that can happen. But I think by knowing or putting a face and name of like, all right, this is who I'm handing the account off to. Like, I want to leave in good standing. So putting that ownership on the account executive, but also being transparent of like, we're not going to do this. And when we tell our clients that we can't provide this feature, they tend to churn out at a specific rate. So providing that data of like, this is what happens when we say we're going to have this feature, but we don't.
Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting point. You pair a account manager or CSM with a member of the sales team. So it's a one-to-one handoff?
Mostly, yeah. So it's a few to one, anywhere okay. between one to three, let's say, handoff between an account executive and account manager.
Awesome. I kind of like that idea. Can you talk a little bit, was that always a thing that was at CarGurus, or was that something that was implemented during your time there?
So we've always had some sort of structure like this. Okay. Some terminology may have changed around what those names were, but yeah. the idea of it has always existed.
Have you seen that work better than other past experiences if that hasn't been a thing at your previous companies?
Yeah, I mean, at a company I was at before CarGurus, it was very segmented in the process. There were specific people for, I'd say you'd interact with like five or six different people at that previous company. It just ended up being a lot of handoff of the client, and they would be confused at who to reach out to.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on, you know, kind of the CS and, you know, how it works closely with, you know, like executive leadership or, you know, kind of on high level strategic decisions. So I think we all know from a product perspective why it's important to kind of make sure that product and the executive team are aligned so that you know what the future of the product looks like. But what does that overlap look like with the customer success org? You know, are you involved in conversations about like monetization or kind of like what the product strategy needs to look like based on what you're hearing? Could you just share what you've kind of encountered in your experience?
Yeah, I've experienced that in pretty much the entire time I've been at CarGurus. So that's been the benefit of being at CarGurus for so long is mm-hmm. when I was on international, they relied heavily on my team and the CS org of like, all right, what's going on? What are clients in different markets saying about us? What product features did we miss? What product features do we need to work on? What do they hate about us? What do they love about us? And we really truly got to see some amazing development of the product that came directly from the customer success team.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think especially like when you're launching into new markets, like you said, getting that direct feedback from customers and having a really strong relationship can obviously improve the company because the next time you're trying to launch into a new market or launch a new product or a new something, whatever new for your customers, like having that past experience and having that direct insight into what your customers have said in the past can just help you grow and learn from previous decisions that weren't the best and also kind of double down on the things you know that are going to make the company successful and the customer successful as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Great, great. Go for it. My bad.
The last thing I had was because I feel like we keep saying customer success, but obviously technically your title is that you're the team leader of account management. I didn't want to leave this episode without hearing your thoughts on what's changed. I know that now customer success is a super sexy term and everybody wants to be customer centric. So they create a CS organization. Are they one and the same to you? Do they function differently or? How has that distinction been made at CarGurus?
Yeah, in all honesty, to me, they are one and the same. I think the core mission of what those roles are pretty identical. It's you have a group of accounts or a portfolio of accounts, and you're responsible for getting them super engaged and bought in and driving the ROI of our product. And I think that boiled down to that's the core of it. You're responsible for retaining and growing a book of business while providing some really insightful feedback and being that internal advocate to your client. And that's how I see it. That's how I've designed and mentored my team of looking at it. I'm not sure what you guys think about it.
I think that sums it up perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that, there's some semantics. I think what I've heard, you know, this isn't from my experience, but from what I've heard is that, you know, historically account managers were less involved in the kind of like driving upsells and renewals. That was something that was more held, you know, kept by the account executive or somebody on the sales team, and the account manager was more responsible for kind of like onboarding, implementation, and ongoing kind of support. So it's a slight difference. It's, you know, I'm probably you know, completely wrong, and you know, somebody will tell me that there's a whole book explaining the difference between the two. Like, you know, for all intents and purposes, it sounds like they're sharing the same goal, and maybe it's just a couple different bullet points on a job description that, you know, isn't shared between the two.
Yeah. I think no matter where you go, every company's going to kind of structure it different and have their own ways of opinions on the difference between the two, same way product is run differently at every company, how product managers are responsible for certain things. Whereas like you have associate PMs that's responsible for certain things, then you have like lead PMs, like no matter where you go, everything is going to be different. I think to Jeff's point, the core goal of either account managers or customer success managers or product people or associate PMs are all really much the same, just depending on how specialized the leadership wants that role to be at that company. Just to wrap things up for our last question, we want you to give our listeners a good piece of advice, Jeff. So what's your best advice for product and customer success teams who are trying to work together?
Oh man, no pressure. I would say understand how each team operates, how they're measured, and what drives them, and then use that to create a good workflow process between the two teams that everyone agrees upon.
I like it. Simple and concise.
that's who I am at a core.
Yeah. Keep things simple. That's the best way to do it. I'm with you there.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for your time and sharing your knowledge and experience. It's been a pleasure having you on. Wish you all the best, and you know, hope we can stay in touch as we continue to grow and learn more. I'll definitely reach out next time I have questions about buying a used car.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a great experience, and we'll definitely keep in touch with you guys.
Sounds good. And for everyone listening, make sure you like, subscribe, and follow the podcast.
And get us on TikTok, maybe.